पाश्चात्यादिशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे रामा 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 हरे वंस मो हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा 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 हरे
Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you today to our Chetna Youth Festival. It's the festival of awakening. Awakening our dormant Krishna consciousness which is there within each of our hearts. And I'm very grateful that all of you chose to come on a Saturday evening to a beautiful temple like Radha Gopinath. And I'm sure those who have come for the first time, you will understand by the end of the day that it was a very, very wise decision to come on a Saturday evening to a temple rather than going to any other place where young people like to go in Mumbai city. So I thank you, all of you. So the topic today which we have chosen is From Passion to Compassion. And I can very well speak about passion because we can only speak what we have the realization of. So I have a lot of realization of passion. So I can elaborate a lot on what a person in passion behaves like. But compassion is a very high subject matter. So I'm going to repeat whatever I have heard from my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And he spoke on the same topic from passion to compassion in the Prerna lecture 2007. So I would like to first talk about passion. The game that was played was very self-explanatory actually. Because in a game always there is so much passion involved, right? Especially football games. And in India cricket, you see people jumping as if they are going to go straight inside the television, you know. Whenever there is a 4 or a 6 or if there is a person getting out at 0, you see the passion that everyone shows, isn't it, in India? Sports invoke a lot of passion. They put the person on a pedestal and they worship. But if that same person is out on a 0, people they'll paint their face black and put their effigy. Isn't it? This is how in India we see the passion that people have for a cricket match and the cricketers. So what is passion? Intense, the definition of passion, it comes from the Latin root word of Latin, which means patti, and another word which is a root of Latin word is passio. So this word passion, in the description which is given, is derived or inspired by the passion of Christ. Have you heard this whole story of crucifixion? So there was a movie which came out called Passion of Christ. So the word is inspired by that. And passion by definition means an intense attachment or attraction to do something or to have something. This is the definition of passion. And we see in passion, people lose even their sanity. They get intensely emotional and they express their emotion in very strong way. And what is usually passion? Passion is derived when somebody wants something intensely. That means something which you don't have and which you want to acquire. For example, people are so passionate about sports, that's one of the things. And if you want to learn art, passion about art, then you are passionate about learning something, a new skill. So passion is something which drives us. And if we really want to experience in Mumbai city, as she was talking about, the real passion you can see in a Virar local train. Isn't it? The game was just like that. You see, there was so much passion. Everybody is pushing each other, you know, pulling each other. And everybody is driven by passion. But sometimes you see few people who have little compassion. And they say, okay, we'll make place for you. We'll give you a seat. It's very rare, but it does happen. But always, mostly when there is, in Mumbai city, everybody is driven by passion to achieve something, to get something. So passion, in the Vedic sense, the word passion is said to be the Sanskrit word rajas. The mode of rajoguna or the mode of rajas. It's the rajoguna. So guna, the word guna means like a rope. Each one of us is tied very tightly by these ropes. And like puppets we are being, you know, we are moving. Every action that we do is influenced by these modes, which are like ropes which are tying us. Just like you see in a puppet show, you know how the puppets move? You don't see the rope, the thread, but you all know that this puppet is lifting his hand because there is somebody who is there who is pulling these ropes. So there are such kind of ropes or guna. There are three types of gunas. We all know about sattva guna or the mode of goodness, rajo guna or mode of passion, and tamo guna's mode of ignorance. So we see that rajo guna is characterized by intense greed, intense emotions to achieve something. And a person is ready to do anything to get that. So we see that in this world, people are always acting pushed by this mode of passion which is there within. So the mode of goodness is, the quality of mode of goodness is that you think before you act. Anything that you take a step or before you say something, you think. And mode of passion is you act first or say first and then you think. Has this ever happened with you? Sometimes you don't want to answer back or you don't want to say something angrily, but it just comes out. With me it happens all the time because I am totally in the mode of passion. So it is like so intense that you cannot even control it. And mode of ignorance is neither thinks nor acts. So passion is something which pushes a person to achieve something, to do something. But we see that usually people who are engaged in this mode of passion is always at the end of it miserable. Have you experienced this? That sometimes you have this intense passion to get a new dress or get something which you have been wanting for a long time, but as soon as you get it, all the happiness or the excitement about having it, within 1 week it goes away. And then you are looking for something else. So this is the nature of mode of passion, that especially young people, the word passion is usually related to, you know, the opposite sex or, you know, sexual love. So you think that passion is that you will become happy only if you get that person or get that person's attention. And so many times people make so many mistakes, young girls especially, driven by the mode of passion, they get carried away by their emotions because it's such an intense feeling, and then there is so many mistakes. Because usually the person whom you have such intense feelings for turns out to be something else. Because all your expectations you projected on that person, and not necessarily that that person will be exactly how you want him to be. And ultimately it leads to so much frustration and the life becomes so miserable after that. So I can tell you with experience that youth is the time when it's a lovely time, but if we waste it in running after these kind of temporary pleasures, temporary intense attractions, then we lose the most important time of our life, when we could have used this time in the right way by engaging in our passion in the right direction. So in this strive to get passion, to get all our desires fulfilled, we realize that it is unending. It is like putting oil or ghee in the fire. Imagine if a fire is burning and if you put ghee in it, it will just burn more intensely, isn't it? Can you put off the fire by putting ghee? Even if you put tons and tons of ghee, the fire will just blaze more and more and more. So the Shastras say that Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajoguna Samudbhava. So anything that you keep trying to enjoy, anything that you keep, put ghee more and more, the fire just keeps blazing. And as the blazing fire increases, the desires increase within us, and if it is not satisfied, if it is not satisfied, which it cannot be satisfied, because the fire, the soul, these desires are like fire, it will keep burning. So you cannot really put it off. So when you realize that nothing can satisfy this burning passion or this desire, then you become frustrated. And when we become frustrated, then that is the time when we get completely distracted from the real path of our life or the real goal of the soul. We completely get so disturbed by that we keep wanting, and then we keep finding that satisfaction in different things, and every time our attention gets distracted, so many things. So the Shastras say that our eyes actually, where in this material world, the eyes can distract us towards so many things of material enjoyment. But if you want to really get happiness or real satisfaction, then we should get knowledge. And how we can get knowledge? By hearing. So by our ears we can get knowledge. But with our eyes in this material world, we will just be going on getting distracted. And everything that you see in this material world, anything, you will just keep wanting it. And when you are not satisfied, you will become miserable. So this is how there is a progression of things in this material world. So the real intelligence is that to hear and hear from the right source. And when we hear from the scriptures, that is known as Shastra Chakshu, or seeing through the eyes of the scriptures. That's when we understand, when we get the knowledge, then we will know how to discriminate and how to conduct ourselves, you know, and how to, we understand how to control this passion, and not just control it, but how to slowly dovetail this passion in the right direction. So you understood this much about passion? So in summary, what I would like to say, in Bhagavad Gita, there is three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. And passion is the this which can never be satisfied, and we become more and more frustrated when our desires are not satisfied. And that's when we lose the real goal of our life. So in order to understand the real goal of our life, we should try to get knowledge from the right source. And the knowledge you get only by hearing from the scriptures. So now we will talk about compassion. So compassion also is a very, very intense feeling. It is a very, very intense feeling or emotion. But just like passion is a great desire, or the passion to get something for yourself, or to basically to get something which you don't have, compassion is feeling for others who don't have anything, or who are less, or who are weak, or who are less privileged than you. When you feel for others, passion is when you feel for your own self. Oh, I don't have this, I want this, I need this, why that person has something which I don't have? That is how the mode of passion works. Whereas the mood of compassion is when you feel so much for others. Others' pain, others' weakness, or others' poverty, or, you know, what they are deprived of, you feel for them. You feel their pain. That is compassion. So in passion, you see a person is always craving or wanting or fearful. Will I get it or will I not get it? This is the usual nature of a person in a mood of passion. But a person in the mood of compassion is always thinking, what can I do to give others? What can I do to serve others? Or what can I do to make other people comfortable? This is the mood of person in compassion. But that also is an intense feeling. It's an intense feeling or emotion in your heart for others' pain and suffering. And such a person is ready to go through any level of inconvenience, personal inconvenience, to give relief or care to someone else who's suffering. It's like passion only. But it's just that in passion, the whole focus is mine. And in compassion, the whole focus is all others, the whole world, or anyone who is in need other than myself. So you understand, that is the difference between passion and compassion. But compassion is a very, very high level of realization to have that. Everyone doesn't have that. We cannot have that. You know, it cannot happen in a day that you wake up and you are feeling compassion for everyone else. But the compassion is the actual original nature of the real spirit soul. But how can you realize that? It is so difficult, because unless we rise above this realization that I am this body, and this body, this is my body, and I have to enjoy this in this body. That is passion. When you are in that consciousness, how will you think about beyond this body? How will you be able to think beyond yourself? That is very, very high consciousness. So to reach that consciousness, one has to follow a process. You have to change your consciousness from this, bodily platform where everything, every focus is just trying to enjoy in this body. But we all know that in whatever way you enjoy these five senses, you can enjoy through these five senses of this body. But how much ever you enjoy, at one point you will reach a point where you completely become so miserable. At least we can see by the example in this world that the highest number of suicide is amongst the people who are rich and famous. In fact, recently a very famous, pop star who had so much following, the girls were crazy about him, he had all the money, everything, but just one fine day he just committed suicide. We all will wonder that if he really is, he has everything that anyone will ever want, then why is he so unhappy that he wants to kill himself? That means from this we realize that it is not the amount of enjoyment you get or the amount of all the facilities or material things, name, fame, prestige, all this does not give happiness. So people are passionate about what? They are passionate about money. They are passionate about becoming popular. They are passionate about becoming rich and famous, getting lot of prestige. Isn't this what everyone is craving for? Right? Everyone is wanting that, wanting to achieve that. But that does not give any happiness. In the end, every rich person feels that now I have everything. And then they become bored. Because that does not give happiness to the real person, that is the soul. You know the difference? Are we this body? Have you heard of the soul? We are the spirit soul, right? So just like a fish cannot be happy out of water, even if you put it in a, five-star hotel, give it the best wine, most beautiful woman, what the fish has got to do with it? He will never feel happy. The only place that a fish will be happy will be in the ocean, in the water. So we are like that. We are by nature spiritual. And the body is material, made up of these basic material elements. So it is foolishness to think that we can satisfy ourselves or become really happy just by satisfying our passions in this life. That will never bring us happiness. So the only way that can bring us happiness is by going beyond this body. Thinking on the level of the soul. And this mood of compassion is the real quality or the spiritual quality of the soul. How can we understand that it is the spiritual quality of the soul is compassion? What is the soul part of? Anybody knows? Soul is part of? Soul is part of? God? Yes. Isn't it soul? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That from me, all the living entities, all these little souls, we are all little souls, tiny particles of energy. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that every soul is emanating from me. They are all my part and parcels. So naturally, if a part will have the same quality as the soul, right? As the whole. If we are part of God, if we are part of the whole, then the part which should have the same quality as the whole, right? So what is the nature of God? Nature of God is Sat, Chit and Ananda. Have you heard of Sat, Chit and Ananda? Sat means eternal, Chit means full of knowledge, and Ananda is blissful, always blissful. Are we always blissful, but? Why are we miserable? Why are we miserable? Right, we are running after satisfying this material body. All the time we are thinking of satisfying this material body. So we are miserable. We are unhappy. Because nothing can satisfy this material body. We already understood that, right? And then why is God so blissful? And if we are the soul, part of God, that means we also have the same quality as God. How to understand that? If you take a one drop out of the ocean, the chemical composition, if you study, it will be same, right? H2O, same as water, right? In the ocean. That means it has the same quality. But is it the same quantity? Is the drop same as the whole ocean? No. So we are different in quantity, but we are similar in quality. So we have godly qualities, same as Sat, Chit and Ananda, but because we identify this with this body, we become miserable and unhappy. So if we want to really experience this Ananda, this nature of the soul, which is Sat, Chit and Ananda, then we have to understand how we can divert all our passion to enjoy this material body, this material world, convert it or dovetail it towards the mood of compassion. Isn't the Lord compassionate? The Shastras describe that the compassion or the mercy of the Lord is unlimited like the ocean. But do you think the ocean is unlimited? At one point, though we cannot, in our concept, ocean is, we cannot measure it. But if you go to measure it, it's still you can measure it, right? That description of God's mercy, we are saying that it is as, He is as merciful as the ocean, is because we have no other way to describe. These are just material understanding. What is the most vast thing that you can think? The ocean, right? But even the ocean has a shore. But the Lord's compassion or the Lord's mercy has no shore. Or there is no end. There is no this. It is completely infinite and immeasurable. You can never measure it. So that's how compassionate God is. So the compassion of God is, you can see Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there is a very famous shloka which says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Imagine, it's like the king coming into the prison house. You know, there is a jail. It's like the king of the nation or the most highest person coming into a jail. How dirty is the jail? How the conditions are so bad, right? But still, Lord Krishna, He says in Bhagavad Gita, it is out of my love and the compassion for the suffering souls of this world, I come again and again into this material world. That is how loving or that is how merciful the Lord is. Because He is constantly, He is only thinking about each one of us. Imagine, we have taken this body, we are the spirit souls, but we have taken so many different bodies. But do you all know that the Lord is situated in our hearts along with the soul? He is situated as Paramatma. He has been traveling with us constantly from our amoeba body, cockroach body, rat body, every time. Imagine, the Lord has been coming with us in all these, you know, lower species, in such dirty situations. The Lord has always been with the soul. Can you imagine that? How compassionate the Lord is, right? So the nature of the soul, how we can realize this nature of compassion? is when we completely understand that we are part of God and we realize that, not just understand theoretically, is understand our original nature, that we are part of Krishna and that we have to be supremely, if we become compassionate, we cannot be compassionate like God, but we can at least try to be an instrument of compassion in God's hand. Isn't it? But for that, we need to rise above our selfish nature. We have to understand the spiritual quality that is there within each one of us. The spiritual potential that is there within each one of us. So first and foremost, instead of what we all should, if we want to practice compassion, instead of first being compassionate to the whole world, we have to be compassionate to our own self. Have you thought of that? Compassionate to our own self? How can we be compassionate to our own self? I have personally experienced this, you know. I can tell you by realization that we may talk about, you know, the whole world, but sometimes your own self, you're not, you know, you're being very, very selfish and mean to your own self. You're not able to forgive our own self. Have you ever experienced that? Something bad happens in your life, or something, you do something wrong and you're not able to forgive your own self and you carry those negative feelings all the time in your heart. What happens when you carry these negative feelings? When you hate yourself for all the wrong things which you think is something very bad you have done. That is the worst kind of thing, because if you cannot be compassionate to your own self, how can we be compassionate to others? Just like we say, if you cannot love your own self, how can you love others? So sometimes when we are very, very depressed and when we are very discouraged in life, we should learn how to become compassionate to yourself and forgive yourself first. And think this way, that if God has accepted me the way I am, why can't I accept? Once you become spiritual, once you realize your connection with God, you will realize that God is always so compassionate to you, is always forgiving, is always merciful. He's giving you so much opportunity and He really loves, He loves us the way we are. So shouldn't we also love ourselves the way we are and forgive ourselves for so many of the, sometimes we make mistakes, sometimes we are not up to the mark, sometimes we think we are not beautiful. We are only thinking about external beauty. But what about the internal beauty? As young girls, I am saying this because I have gone through this. That first we have to think about compassion to your own self. Be able to love yourself the way you are. Why? Because God made you that way. Whatever it may be. Why is the cosmetic industry thriving today? The plastic surgery, all this cosmetic surgery, all this is because the women or the young girls, they feel they are inadequate. They are not complete. They are not perfect. But why should we be perfect? Nobody is perfect. God has made everyone the way they are. And the way they are being made by God, that is perfect. You have to have this compassion and this feeling of love for your own self first. We have to understand that the way we have been made is made, Krishna has made us like that. And Krishna has made us because He loves us that way. So the first thing we have to do is accept ourselves the way we are. Once you accept all your, and even the mistakes that you do, the mistakes that you do, when you realize that I have done something really wrong. But once when you realize that, okay, I have done something wrong, you should immediately understand that I am not perfect, but I can become perfect. I can, you know, correct all my wrongs. As soon as you come to know you have done going the wrong way, you can always change yourself. But when will you be able to do that? Only when you realize that the way you are, you accept yourself the way you are. So the compassion begins with your own self. Think that I am part of Krishna. I have connected my soul. My soul has connected back to Krishna. So I am actually perfect. Because that is really the perfection of life. As soon as the soul connects with the Supreme Lord, connects with Krishna through this process of bhakti, the bhakti yoga, then immediately you will see that you are on the path of perfection. You may not be perfect today, but you are on the path of perfection. Your intention is right in your life. Anything that you do, everything depends on the intention. And God only sees the intention. God doesn't see what big things you do in life. What is your consciousness or what is your intention? So the real compassion, just like sometimes we expect so many things from ourselves. Have you realized that when you expect too much from yourself, that's when you become most miserable and frustrated? When you expect yourself to be something what you are not, you become more frustrated and more miserable. And then to get back your confidence, you have to struggle so much. It's like exercising. You know, if you have an accident and you lose the power in your hand, you cannot immediately next day lift weights, right? You have to slowly, slowly start exercising your little finger first. And that way, by practicing, then you can get back the power of your hand. So if we become compassionate to ourselves, then we will work towards improving ourselves. Practice this process of bhakti yoga so that you understand your real worth. Feel compassion for your own self. And then we'll be able to understand, compassion to others, compassion to the whole world. As you connect yourself with the Supreme Lord by this process of bhakti yoga, slowly, slowly you will see how the feeling or the mood of compassion, feeling for the pain of others, you start feeling the pain of others. That is the real quality of a Vaishnava. Have you heard this? Vaishnava janato tene kahiye je pida parai jane re. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. And who is a Vaishnava? Who loves Krishna, right? Anyone who loves Krishna is a Vaishnava. And what is the main quality of a Vaishnava? Is that he can feel, not just know theoretically. It is different. Some people are very compassionate. They give out books, they give out food to people. They are doing a lot of charity. But that is just kind of charity in the mode of goodness. But to come to the level of the soul, to really feel the real nature of a Vaishnava, is he can feel the pain of others. And so much you can feel. Imagine if you feel somebody else's pain. Just like if you feel your own pain, you will immediately try to relieve the pain, right? If somebody is pinching you, you will immediately try to pull your hand away. Because you feel the pain yourself. Imagine if you can feel the pain of others. Won't you also try to relieve their pain? Try to give them relief? So these great souls who feel this mode of compassion, they are able to not only feel the pain, they are ready to go through any length, they go through any inconvenience to their own body so that they can relieve that person's pain. that is the sign of, you know, the greatness or the quality of a pure Vaishnava. We see by the example in our own life, in this temple hall, we have Srila Prabhupada. Imagine at the age of 70, when everybody at the age of 70 wants to retire, stop working, just go to a nice village and just have a easy, relaxed life. And he was in that situation. He was in Vrindavan, the most holiest of places, and he was doing nice bhajan. But at that age, at the age of 70, he took this most dangerous journey by ship. And the ship was caught in a storm. Can you imagine? Have you seen any movies where the ship gets into a storm and the waves go so high and they hit? The whole ship was in a storm. And Lord Srila Prabhupada writes that, you know, I thought that the ship will not last. And he also got a heart attack. In the middle of that storm, he was having a severe chest pain and he was suffering so much. So who would take such a dangerous journey, risk your own life, to go to an unknown place and not even know what is going to what experience you are going to get? So he went all the way to America because he knew. When he landed in America, when he saw the people, he was walking on the streets of New York and he saw that the people were so unhappy. They were miserable. Because he was seeing through the eyes of the scripture. What most of us think that New York is the most happening city in the world, right? Everybody seems to be enjoying themselves. They are looking so happy. They are so rich. They are living such, you know, posh lives. And everybody wants to go to New York. But when he went there, Srila Prabhupada, he was crying. He was crying to see that these people were so bereft of any spiritual direction. They were all into all the sinful activities because they were thinking they'll get happiness just by satisfying the body. So he could see their pain and they couldn't see their own pain. He could see what misery they were in. And he was ready to take this such dangerous journey, two heart attacks, and still go to relieve their pain. This is what is compassion. When you go out of your way, not only out of your way, but are ready to take pain and suffering to your own self, to relieve the pain and suffering of others. That is compassion. It's a total opposite of passion. But the only way we can get real happiness of the spiritual level, is when we practice this compassion in small ways. We are not pure devotees. We are very, very simple, ordinary people. We cannot claim to be, oh, I am compassionate. But each person has got something, some skill, some facility, something which you have, which you can give others, or something which you can do to relieve other people's pain and suffering. Each one can do a small bit, right? Not one person can say here that I cannot do anything for anyone else. Each one of us, if we decide, if we think, then we can do so much for others, right? So in this modern age, we have an example like Srila Prabhupada. And like Prabhupada, there are so many other examples. If you go in this, if you study, we have so many examples of people who think about others before ourselves. Who is the most closest person that you can think of in your life? Huh? Huh? You're thinking about Mother Teresa. What about your own mother? our own mother, right? How many times we think like that about our mother? Hasn't our mother, you know, spent sleepless nights just so that as babies, you know, when we were sick, they took care of us. Right? She had to take care of us. So the real example of compassion, if you want to see in your own, you know, circle of your experience, it is our parents and mother especially. Because she is always serving, making everyone comfortable. Making you comfortable. When you are hungry, she feeds you. When you are miserable, she comforts you. When you are sick, she takes care of you. Isn't it? And for the mother, she is ready to go through any pain for her own body, but wants the best for her children. So this is real compassion. So as women, as young girls, if you understand this, that as a woman, you can really develop this quality of compassion. Instead of being passionate about fulfilling your own selfish needs, if you start thinking about others, you know, in your own family first, be compassionate to your own self first and then your own family members. See how you can make others happy. There is only one way that we can really become happy in this world, is when we give happiness to others. Materially, this is the only way we can become happy. Materially and spiritually. But unfortunately, the compassion we can learn from the life of... I wanted to tell you a story. Would you like to hear a story? I'm thinking, which story should I say? The quality of compassion is the highest quality of the soul. And this story about Valmiki. Have you heard the story of Valmiki? Who was he before he became Valmiki? He was a highway robber. You know, people who, like a criminal, who loot people, you know, stop the car and then on gunpoint or knife, you know, loot people. He was so degraded. Completely on the bodily platform, he was having no good qualities. But then, a great saint, Narada Muni, met him and he told him that this life, you know, if you just waste in this sinful activities, you are going to be very, very miserable. And by the mercy of a great saint like Narada Muni, so he was so compassionate. He wanted to relieve his pain because he knew if he leads such a life, he is going to have such reactions. He'll be rotting in hell for that. So then he asked him to chant Ram. But can you believe it? He couldn't chant because he was so sinful. He couldn't chant the name of Ram. Can all of you chant? Say Ram. 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 We all can chant, right? If you ask somebody, you can chant. Even I can chant Ram. Maharaj said like this, even I can say Ram. He is such a pure devotee and he is saying. So we can chant the name of Ram, but Valmiki Muni couldn't even chant the name Ram. Because he was so sinful that he couldn't take God's name. But thankfully we are all not that sinful. We are sinful, but at least we are able to chant the name of Ram. So then he gave him he reversed it. Because he used to kill people, he told him, you chant Mara, Mara, Mara. So he started chanting Mara, 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 and it became Ram. And he became so purified. just by chanting the name of Ram, he was, all his sinful reactions, all his selfish, passionate nature completely transformed, and he became a great saint with such a compassionate heart, and he could write the story of Ramayana. Imagine. So how can we change our selfish mode of passion heart to compassion? By this simple process of Bhakti Yoga that Srila Prabhupada has given us. What is that? Chanting the holy name. By chanting the holy name, slowly we can purify our heart and can become instruments of compassion in the hands of God. We cannot say that we are becoming compassionate, great souls. We can be just instruments in the hand of God. And that's all we should try to be. We should never try to be more than that. So the simple process that we all can take in our life is chanting of the holy name. So let us all chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with this prayer in our heart that somehow by the mercy of Guru, by the mercy of the great spiritual masters like Srila Prabhupada, that we can understand our real spiritual nature and become instruments of compassion in their hands. And we can serve anybody who is in pain and try to help others. And the best way that we can help others is connecting their souls back with Krishna. That is the best way we can help. Isn't it? If you help somebody's body by giving them food or clothes, after some days again they are going to be hungry, right? Will they be satisfied? Can we satisfy them completely by serving their bodies? But along with food, if we give them Krishna consciousness or give them the holy name or elevate their consciousness and connect them to Krishna, then we can actually give them eternal happiness. So the highest compassion that we can show to anyone is, of course, do the needful, relieve their pain first, but then give them the process of Krishna consciousness by which they can completely free themselves from the lower modes and they can get eternal life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? We can take questions for 2 minutes only.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your wonderful class.
Thank you.
Well, I could get some connection with my life as well, according to the way you explain. But I am a little confused that what is the difference between mode of goodness and compassion? So if we are in passion, I could relate that, okay, we can be compassionate. But then I'm a little confused between compassion and mode of goodness. So can you just explain me the difference?
See, in mode of goodness, a person wants to purify himself, do good activities, do good pious activities. But what is the aim of that? Aim to do good activities is just so that you get pious credits. In the sense that you do good, you think good, do good to others, don't be bad, all the pious activities, but the aim of all that is just so that you get punya or pious fruits to get. But again there is some selfishness, right? Some people do good just so that they can get a good name. Like charity in the mode of goodness is where, you give the charity in the right way, give food to the needy. But what is the aim of that? Is just so that they can purify all their past sins and they can get a higher birth or, you know, go to the Swargaloka or heavenly planets. So even then, there is some selfish desire, right? So that is not the same as compassion, which is on the spiritual platform. And that platform, Prabhupada describes in Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva platform. There is something above Sattva Guna also. And that is known as Shuddha Sattva, or more purified level of mode of goodness. That is the level of the soul, the spiritual platform. And in that platform, when the soul is compassionate, that is without any expectation or motivation. Each mode has their motivation also. Like mode of goodness, the motivation is, purification. And in mode of passion, it's domination, like getting control over others. You know, attracting control, striving to get control. That is mode of passion. And mode of ignorance, the motivation is destruction. Destroy your own self by your ignorance, by drugs. Destroy others. So that is the end result. But compassion is something nothing to do with your own personal agenda. Nothing in that. Compassion is when you do selflessly, just to relieve the pain of others, just to help others, without any personal this. Like when you, a devotee, you know, connects somebody to Krishna consciousness, it's not because you get something out of that person. So it is nothing to do with what you will get out of it. So compassion is, there is no personal motivation, there is no personal agenda in that. Compassion is selfless, when you go beyond your own self and help someone without any expectation. So mode of goodness also will bring you back into this material world. As soon as the pious credit, that's what Bhagavad Gita says, as soon as your pious punya gets over, all the punya that you collected gets over, again you have to come back into this material world. But spiritual activity or spiritual compassion will free you from this material world. You will never have to come back to this material world, because you please the Lord by compassion. Thank you. Any other question? Mike.
What if we want to help someone, like we know that they are getting into a problem, but they don't want our help? Like, we are trying to be compassionate to them, but they don't want to be helped. Then how do we get them out of that problem? Or they feel like as if we are nagging them. Like, a friend of mine, she has got into bad company, and I don't want her, like, because I care for her, I don't want her to be with them. So, but I don't want to tell her because it would feel like I'm nagging her. So I don't want to do that, but then I know that it's not good for her. So then what should I do?
Yeah, the real compassion for your friend is to be there for her always. After some time, when she realizes that she was in bad company, you should be there at that time with her. Not that just because she is not listening to me, I am telling her so much, that means she is not my friend. So you forget her. Real compassion is when you love your friend, irrespective whether she is in good company, bad company, listening to you, not listening to you, you are still her friend. And when she realizes that you are not judging her and not always nagging her, but you are always supporting her for what she is, then when the time comes when she realizes that she has done some very bad mistakes, at that time if you are there with her, that is the time you can show her the real way to life.
Thank you.
Take her to Krishna consciousness at that time when she is miserable. So you have to be patient and wait for the right time.
I wanted to ask you, as you mentioned about the soul that actually we feel whatever we give for the materialistic body, like, but there is also something between body and soul, that is mind, that always come like greediness. I want this, I want that, I want that. It's not the body, but the mind that comes. So how to control? As Krishna also said, that it's constantly running. We can't control, it's difficult to control. So how can you guide for this? Like, for the mind, that's the main stuff, come always in between. Also in the negative stuff, sometimes mind is also there, that always, mat kar. If you're going to do something good, mat kar. Ye ahi jate bishme. So how you can tell it?
Actually, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the mind is, can be our best friend or our best or our worst enemy. And the only way, also Krishna says, you cannot control the mind. It is like the raging wind. You cannot control it. The mind will keep running. But you have to practice. So how you can practice to control the mind is the same process. How we can change our selfish passion to compassion is the same process. Is by when you chant every day, you start your day by controlling the mind. It's like a practice. All your senses are making you run in all 100 directions. And mind is the seat of all the senses. So when we control the mind by chanting, so the process of chanting, all our senses are engaged, right? When you chant with your mouth, you hear with your ears, you smell the incense or, you know, with the nose which is offered to God. With your eyes you see the beautiful form of God. And sense of touch you use by touching the beads. So all your senses are getting used in service of God. You're not using for your own self. Even playing a video game is, all the senses are involved, isn't it? Your hand is involved, your nose, you know, everything is focused towards that, but you are distracting. That is the wrong thing. But when we engage our mind in chanting the holy name, it gets slowly, slowly controlled. All the negative thoughts get reduced. But it doesn't happen in a day. That example which I gave about exercising, you know, if you have an accident, you have to start very small things. First you have to only move a little finger, then one finger, then slowly, slowly your whole hand you have to bring back. But for that you have to do exercise every day. So chanting is like exercise of the mind. Mind is completely running. We have to control it by chanting. So don't feel disappointed. The mind will still keep thinking about negative things and all. But if we stick to the process, then slowly, slowly you will see the good results. Thank you very much. I think we are very late. So we can start, all stand up. And we'll take part in the Sankirtan for 10 minutes. Yeah. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. I'll sing. You take this. Stay fast. Announcement. Or afterwards, no? After Kirtan, no?
They will leave. I'll not announce. Before we start our kirtan, we would like to welcome all those girls who have come for the first time. I would request everybody to sit down for 2 minutes. We would like to welcome all those girls who have come for the first time for today's Chetna festival. May I request them to please stand up in their own places.